Let us now turn to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, as we continue our study from this chapter. Glad to have our missions and our TAFE families tune in with us tonight. Goodly crowd here at the tabernacle as we study the Word of God together. And how the Lord is blessing His Word. I praise Him for it. And how it shapes our lives, enriches us, gives us knowledge and understanding. The Word of God is a light, is a lamp to our feet, is a light to our pathway. Let's remember that. Charters our course. And as we meditate and study it, we grow into that knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, whom we already have, or if you want to know Him. Now let's begin reading from the first verse of this 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Now we left off with the 9th verse last week. And let's look at that 10th verse. The 10th verse. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, what does the apostle mean here? He said, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. Well, the reference here is to the story which we have in Numbers 16. Now, I want us to turn to Numbers, the 16th chapter, and see what the Apostle Paul has referenced to. The 16th chapter of Numbers. I like to read these stories here because it couples in with our lessons, and we want to get everything pertaining to the lesson. What has the apostle? He talks about and samples and types and shadows. Well, let's look back at the 16th chapter of Numbers and read it and see what the apostle Paul has referenced to as regards to murmuring, the people murmuring. Well, we have the same thing today, people murmuring. Even under the gospel, people murmur. And let this be as an admonition to us, instructions to our hearts, warnings. Now Korah, and in the first verse, listen to it. Now Korah, the son of Ihar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. Korah was the leader of this gang. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you census, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. Now that was their project, you might say. God called them for this particular task, to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord. But they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted more. They wanted to be the leader. They wanted to have to be the ones who would... Well, they wanted to be above Moses. To be in a place where God did not put him, like Korah. Did not appoint him to that particular service as he did Moses. And because now Moses knew at the time, even when Korah and his gang appeared before him, Moses knew that he was in the right place. And he knew that God called him, as well as we read the story, when God called him and there was the burning bush and God spoke to Moses and gave him the leadership of the people, that he would lead them out of Egypt and deliver them. And I'm sure that Korah and his gang was aware of that, but still and all, they rose up against him. Let's go on. It'll explain itself as we read. Now let's look at the ninth verse again. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto him. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land? Now listen to some of this murmuring here from the children of Israel and from Abram here and Dathan, the sons of Eliab, as they spoke to Moses. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, and neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abram on every side. And Dathan and Abram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord had sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the and 50 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. And the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord, but therefore they are hallowed. And there they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and there were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah, and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. And then that plague went on and on, until Moses cried unto the Lord. If you turn over to the 44th verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Now that's what the Apostle Paul had referenced to what's the results of those, what happens to those who continually murmuring and are continuously murmuring, complaining about God's work among them. There are many murmurs in our day under the preaching of the gospel. People murmuring, complaining because of circumstances. Now, as we go on, let's go a little further in this study here. Neither murmur ye now. This is the admonition. Lord, don't let me murmur. Let me not complain about my circumstances. Oh, let me not complain or murmur. Now, let's go on. When God had punished the pride of Korah, Dathan, and Abram, the people rose up against Moses and Aaron, as we saw here, as if they were to blame for the plague which the Lord inflicted on them. God punished this uproar of the people with fire from heaven, which devoured more than 14,000 of them. We read that in that chapter. So this provides a clear and a memorable proof of the wrath of God operating against rebels and troublemakers who raise their voices against Himself. Now, they raised their voices against Moses and Aaron, which meant they raised their voices against God. Now, people do not realize, I'm sure, if they did, they wouldn't. I'm going to read something else that we had earlier. Do you know why they crucified the Lord of glory? Do you know the reason for it? Let me read it so you hear. Paul speaking in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, But we speak the wisdom of God, at the seventh verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, while which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's ignorance. And of course, God does not wink at your ignorance today because we've got the Word of God, we've got the Gospel. God does not wink at sin, but sin will be punished. Individuals go on in their sin and their rebellion. Like I said at the prayer service, there's a day of retribution coming for everything that's hurled against the children of God, against His servants. And that's what grieves me, is that they're not hurting me primarily. They're fighting God Himself. I don't care whether you're young people or not, or elder. It doesn't matter who they may be. Those who harass me, they harass God. God takes note of it. It's just like Korah. Korah wasn't satisfied with the conditions as they existed, with the service of the tabernacle. He wanted Moses' seat. He wanted to be the leader, the voice of authority. And that's why he rose up against Moses. But Moses stood his ground. He knew where God put him. He knew that God put him there. And he knew that God was going to work through him and no one else. Now, my friends, I'm not saying this for boasting. I don't boast. I'm not boasting. But when I say God's not going to work through any other individual in this ministry except through me, through the pastor, through his leader, and those who rise up against him rises up against God Himself. Now, that's what this teaches. And we'll show you a little further how they rose up against Paul. How certain ones in the church of Corinth rose up against Paul. Now, let's go on. This provides a clear and memorable proof of the wrath of God operating against rebels and troublemakers who raise their voices against Himself. And we have troublemakers in this assembly, my friends. They're causing trouble. And I fear for them. And there's some of our young people. They're your daughters that are causing trouble in this congregation. That are harassing the saints of this congregation. I fear for them. Now get this. These children of Israel were complaining about Moses. But since they had no grounds for insulting him, and the only reason they had for burning with anger against him was that he faithfully carried out the task which God had laid upon him, they were in reality making an attack upon God by murmuring as they did. You see the truth there? You see the admonition, the warnings? Let us then remember that it is God with whom we have to deal, and not man. If we set up ourselves against the faithful ministers of Christ, whoever they are, uprisings against them will not go unpunished. If we look just a little closer at Numbers 16:3, the words that are recorded there, the people in essence said, "We do not need a mediator. Moses, we don't need you." That's exactly what they were saying. "We do not need a mediator." We do not need a high priest. We are good enough for God as we are. You see? Those are rebels, murmurers, complainers. They found fault with God's provision for them. and destruction was the result. I want us to turn to Psalms now, the second Psalm in your Bibles. I love to stay with the Word of God. The second Psalm. I wonder, my friends, if you believe the Word of God. Do you believe it? The second Psalm, the first verse. Why do the heathen rage? That's the ungodly he's talking about here. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. That was the spirit of Korah and Abram and Dathan, and cast away their cords from us. Let us break their bands asunder. Who are they? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him, in Christ. Then let us go back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and look at another thought here. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. As we just stated, primarily, the murmuring was against Moses and Aaron because of the destruction of Korah, Dathan, and Abram with their company, which was charged upon these servants of the Lord. But in fact, it was a murmuring against God from whom the judgment came and was administered by a destroying angel, the destroyer. Now, the destroyer here is understood by many to mean the angel of death, so often referred to in the Old Testament. If you want these scriptures, I'll just give them to you, some reference to it. You can write them down. Exodus 12:23, then 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, the 16th and 17th verse, called destroying angel. Then in Hebrews 11:14. Now, by a destroying angel is meant an executioner of divine judgment. Now, Paul likens the people who complained against Moses' leadership to the case of the Corinthians. They murmured against Paul. Therefore, it was against Christ they murmured. Murmured against Paul. And therefore, it was against Christ. When individuals murmur against me, complain about me, they murmur against Christ who put me here. They seem to have set up other teachers in the church of Corinth who would indulge and soothe them in their inclinations, and particularly in a revolt against Paul's leadership. Such conduct was very provoking to God, and was likely to bring upon them swift destruction, as it did on the Israelites. Now, the opposition which some of the Corinthians manifested against the teachers given them by God, and especially against Paul, was an opposition which struck directly at the Lord Himself. My friends, divine retribution await murmuring. I want you to look at the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians and that 30th verse. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now that was the warning given in Corinthians here to the church at Corinth. That was the reason why many were feeble, many sick, many weakly, and many slept. It's because of the divisions that they caused within the church, the strife that they ordered in the church, the opposition against God's people. I wonder if that's not the reason why I thought about many of our own ministry here. Why many are being afflicted by God. What reasons for it? Is it because they haven't come into that full assurance and the full knowledge of God's leadership here? Those who may be in opposition against me as God's anointed, could their troubles be because of that opposition? Could they be suffering in the body or against another saint that God has placed in a particular position in the church? Or are they suffering because of opposition against that individual? Or perhaps they want to get a voice of authority or get in a situation where they could be a leader and overrule probably some of my authority here? Now, I know there were some early murmurings when I first came into this church that it took a long time for some people, for God to convince them that I was the man that God wanted here. And they went through much torment within their own hearts. Because there's no rest there, my friends, where there's opposition against God's anointed, God's people, or against a brother or sister. There's no rest for that soul. Nothing but strife, pains, and heartaches. And I read that scripture over there in that 30th verse. This caused many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many have been taken out the way. I think about the Apostle Paul as we close out that ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Would you like for God to put you on the shelf, my friends? If you're saved, you say you're saved, would you like for God to set you aside? Take you out of the way. Can't use you. Because of perhaps maybe some little opposition there in your heart. You're not truly convinced. Of God's particular servant. Or you may be harboring things against another saint or a brother, a sister or brother. Would you like for the Lord to set you aside? He cannot use an individual who has strife in their heart and jealous. You certainly can't. Those individuals want to cause derisions. You can't use individuals like that. You have to be in subjection unto the Lord, unto the voice of authority, under His leadership. But this flagrant rebellion that we're talking about, Korah and Abram and Dathan, are right in the face of Moses, in the face of God. I don't need you. We don't need you, Moses, as our mediator, as our leader, as the one who can lead us through this wilderness. We're good enough for God as we are. Open, flagrant rebellion. And the Bible speaks that they, God divided the earth, and where they went down into hell, alive, all of their household, their children went with them. That's the Word of God, my friends. Sometime a whole household is destroyed because of the actions of the head of the home, of the mother and father of that home, of the rebellion in that family. And we've seen family after family, my friends, leave this assembly in opposition, in open rebellion against God, His servants. And they're on the outside. They're trying to preach the Word, but there's no power behind their preaching. Their power is limited to self, to that which pleases the flesh and tickles the ears. And only those who know the Lord or want to know the Lord will know the difference. They know the difference. And only the goats will follow after them. Yes, there's a day of retribution awaiting. Await. It's coming quickly. I was thinking about that hourglass with the sand in, my friends. There's an hourglass. You ever look at one and see the sand dripping slowly down? And after a while, all the sand is gone. My friends, there's a day of retribution coming. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, which means examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. The apostle again repeats verse 6. If you look at verse 6, look at verse 6. Of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Evil things. Now that all these things happened to the Israelites, so that they may be types to us. In other words, examples by which God sets His judgments before our eyes. What sort of judgments threatens idolaters, fornicators, and others who despise God? For these are living pictures, we might say, revealing God to us in His anger with sin. Their sins against God and then backslidings from Him were typical of the infidelity or the unfaithfulness of many under the gospel. God's judgment on them were types of spiritual judgments now. Their exclusion from the earthly canon typified the exclusion of many who are under the gospel out of the heavenly canon for their unbelief. And they were written for our admonition, as the apostle goes on further to say. Now they're recorded in the writings of Moses in order that we and all others might be admonished not to confide in our own strength. The admonition did not pertain merely to the Corinthians, but had an equal application to believers in all ages of the world. Let us be grateful to God for the provision He has given through His Word and the Holy Spirit for the salvation of our souls and our building up in Christ. Let us never allow ourselves to become self-confident and imagine we can get along without the daily ministry of our risen, glorified Lord, our High Priest in heaven. Let us never think that we can get along without Him, our Mediator, like these in the wilderness, as they said, we can get along without Moses, who was a type of Christ. And let us never think that we're able to go on day by day without the Word of God meditating, giving us light in our path, nourishment and strength. Oh, the daily ministry. Let us not neglect to assemble ourselves together as often as possible. And the reading of the Scriptures, the praising of the Lord, admonishing one another as we see the day approaching. Never cease with the hungering and longing after the bread of life. Wanting Him. Then the last thought in that Scripture, in the 11th verse, upon whom the ends of the world are come, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, ends of the world means the gospel dispensation, the last under which men will live on earth. We're living in the last dispensation now of time, of this earth, the gospel dispensation. Nothing in Scripture is written in vain, my friends. God had wise and gracious purposes towards us in leaving the Jewish history upon record. And it is our wisdom and duty to receive instructions from it, the warnings as well as the admonitions. The intellectual wealth and experience of all past ages, they meet in this one glorious and final dispensation of the gospel. Consequently, our responsibility is great. If it shall be more tolerable for Sodom than for Chorazin, as we read in Luke, the 10th chapter, it will be more tolerable for Chorazin than our modern-day world. The more light and the rejection of that light, the greater condemnation. The ends of the world means our age, as elsewhere termed, the consummation of the ages, Hebrews 9:26, are of the age, Matthew 13:39. Also, it means the ends of the world means the end of the world, as 1 Corinthians 1:8 tells us. The end of all things means, has the same meaning, 1 Peter 4:7. Now, Christianity is the goal and end of all earlier revelation, and no new one follows it. And do you know, my friends, all the revelation that God has given us is in this Holy Bible. No more will be given. When the Apostle John closed the book of Revelation, gave us that great revelation, that was the end of it. Nothing else that we need. But these 66 books of the Bible here. That's all. No more revelations. These people say, I've had a revelation from the Lord. They had no such thing. They had it from the devil. He doesn't reveal anything through dreams anymore. There was a time it did happen. He did reveal things through dreams and visions, but they didn't have the Word. We've got the Word today, the Word of God. And everything that God wants us to know is in this Bible. The subject pertaining to the admonition reminds us of the special goodness of God to this age. What a gracious age we're living in. What a wonderful age. Oh, men and women, we've got the gospel, the good news that saves sinners. We've got the message, the final message. We've got everything here to preach. To preach.
All the intellect of all the ages are summed up in this one age that we're living in, this final dispensation. And though one of the Lord said, this gospel shall be preached everywhere throughout the whole world before He comes back again. And let's do the best we can. Let's do all we can to preach it. And I'm laboring and preaching as if the whole world is listening to me. I would the whole world could listen. And we could get them all to listen. That God's given us everything at man's knees, to know Him as their Lord and Savior, to close in with Him before He comes back again. So the subject pertaining to the admonition reminds us of the special goodness of God to this age that we're living in. We're living in the greatest age that has ever been lived. You know that? That has ever existed. This final age. I praise the Lord because it won't be long before the consummation of all the ages. And we're living in the last age, my friends. And there's no better time for you to close in with the Lord Jesus Christ as it is now. That we don't have too many years. The signs of the times are all around us. Open your eyes and see it, my friends. And may God give you those spiritual eyes to see. Oh, but your one determination that I must know Him and found not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which comes by faith in Christ in Him. And to know Him is life eternal. And you can only get that through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Yeah, we can say like David in Psalm 16:6, oh, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Praise the Lord we have. This church has a goodly heritage. It has the gospel. And what a heritage we have. And we have this treasure within us in this old earthly vessel that we live in, huh? Oh, this treasure. What a treasure chest we have. Oh, to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to tell it like it is and not be ashamed and be bold and confident and sure and be resting on a foundation that you know can never be moved out from under you. Oh, what a treasure chest we have. And we have this treasure within us in this earthly vessel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wholly recommend it to you. My friends, what it did for me, it can do for you. Oh, if you only cease your struggling, cease your running, oh, and turn to the Lord, that your footsteps may be ordained of the Lord, and you'll be able to turn to Him and to know Him and find rest for that weary, sick soul. My friends, I love to see every one of you rejoicing in the Lord. I know many of you are. You're praising the Lord. But to see others, see you, your family, your children, just praising the Lord, just rejoicing in Him, to be found in Him. Oh, my. What it is, what it means. Just to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing else, my friends. Nothing else will ever satisfy you like Christ. He satisfies the heart. I'm glad you came tonight. I'm going to let you go and as we come to the end of our lesson, we'll begin with the 12th verse next week. Lord willing, we're not going home by then. We'll be in the 12th verse. I hope I'm going home by then. I know someone said, I would that you can live for years. I said, well, I hope so too. But then there is a desire in my heart to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And I believe it is with all believers. But I know that time will come soon enough. But as we stay and labor and work and pray among you and live and preach, we are confident of what the Lord is doing and what He will do, and that we will see sinners delivered and see our children delivered and saved by the grace of God. And we labor towards that end. Oh, let us pray. Let us constantly not forget the admonition that we can never do without a mediator. Let us think seriously along that line. We need a mediator day by day. A mediator between God and man. And it is that man, Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's remember that. Christ. No saint will do, but only the Lord. Him. I could go on another hour here and just point you to Christ. You may know Him, because knowing Him, then is life eternal. Then you have kissed the Son, and God's wrath has been removed. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Our Father, how we thank Thee for Thy great grace rest upon us. How we thank Thee for Thy grace You've given us to trust Thee. How we thank Thee that everything we receive today has come from above. As Thou hast given us life in Christ, strength and grace, Thou art the source, the fountainhead of everything that's good. That's blessed. Happy is that man who trusts in the Lord. Happy is that man whose sins are forgiven. Our blessed Father, tonight, draw sinners by Thy cords of love. Oh, that they may know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding. My Lord and my God, hear us. Break the hearts of rebels. Break the contentious heart. Oh, break the hearts of our children, wherever they are. Lord, Thou alone can do it. Don't let judgment fall, but have mercy. Have mercy. In Thy wrath, remember mercy. We ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.